Welcome. You made it today. You made it. So many choices, aren't there? Aren't there? Okay, yeah, that's a question. Yeah, there are. There's a lot of choices, but you made it. And I made it. Boy, am I glad to have Sunday here. I know it's a busy day for a pastor, but God warns us, hey, if you get too busy and you miss my day of rest, you're missing. You're missing a lot. Time with Him, it's precious. And this is it for our No Fear Living series. If you missed any of the other three messages, go to our website at avaloncommunitychurch.org or the new app, which is really easy, and you can check those out. And boy, have I received a lot of feedback and emails, especially from our online listening crew, and welcome to those listening online as well. Week one, redefining failure. A lot of my personal story in there, how we look backwards a lot at failing attempts, or oftentimes set the bar too high, and it's just not even realistic with what we're looking at. And a lot of times we look at what other people say about us, or we put our eyes on that Michael Jordan out there and feel like we've just got to be perfect and have that perfect life. It's not happening. Last week, the freedom from the fear of people and feeling rejected. More story there as well, and even personal story by others in our congregation sharing with the rejections in our life. The thoughts that we've had where we felt like we were failing or something went wrong, and we've had to face that. And with God's help, overcome that rejection. Amen? Yeah, you got to face it. You got to go to grips with it. We're finishing today with, are you failing to commit? And if so, what's the deal? That's how I would say it. Topics are not easy to come up with as far as titles go. But that's a conversation. I just look and go, are you failing to commit? What's the deal? And that became our title. But when we think of this, the topic itself, at least my mind, it kind of stalls out on this topic because it's a huge word. It really is. It could mean a lot of different things. We talked about fear, and we're bringing this into the area of commitment. It could mean a lot of different things. Let me start off with that, okay? And when I hear the word, the first thing that my mind goes to, and I know you're with me, is relationships. Nod your head if you're in agreement. Yeah, look at that. That's exactly right. Constantly on the forefront of everything we look at. Netflix, cable, casino movie, and they got a big one out there with the Avengers going on. Relational stuff, these people coming back together, good versus evil, and the relationships that are so incredibly important to fight against these things. Man, I don't care. YouTube songs, you watch the music awards and you hear about relationships. I wouldn't be standing here if it weren't for the people listening and this person in my life and this my, oh man, you're number one in my life. And I just want to thank my mom and my dad. Relationships, huge. They do come to the forefront. And you know the drill. There's a dude who's going out with this girl, and he asked her to marry him, and she says no. And she said, I'm not up for that kind of commitment, and then vice versa with the girl and the guy. And no, this isn't happening. I'm not ready to commit my life to you wholeheartedly. Makes a great country song, doesn't it? Okay, never mind. Not a lot of country fans in here. I broke her heart, she broke my jaw, something like that. But if we really take this very, very seriously, to be honest with you, we find that this subject goes all over the place, way more than relationships. Family, sports, school, friends, our social networks, our small groups, those that aren't even considered a small group, but we just love to hang out together. New Year's resolutions that require commitment, right? Remember those? All of them. Let's break it down, see if we can discover why there's this fear in validating commitment. A few topical questions, and I love this because I got to do this with my own heart. They soften the soil, they break the ice, but when talking about friendships, Are you afraid that a friend may not come through for you? So you hesitate to gravitate, so to speak, closer. And as a result, you're on the outskirts. It's not deep, it's shallow, perhaps. What about when it comes to committing to parents or to family? Difficult topic right now, especially in our church. A lot of counseling going on when it comes to parents and families, investing quality time with them. What about committing yourself to the next level of schooling? Maybe even grade school, what you're in right now, but maybe the next level. I feel like I should go forward into my master's program, or I think this doctorate here is something I'm being called to, or this next level in my credentials and what I need for my professional job. And I'm not sure if I'm fully committed to go that route yet. But what in your life makes you fear commitment? We all have fear with those big ones. I sat back this week and recording tons of mine, and I have to choose a lot of things. Without a doubt, the things that I choose take all of me. They take all of me. I've had to shuffle things. Guys that are on our staff have literally watched me since I moved here. Take on something and take on something else. Drop this. Work harder on this. I want to stay purpose-driven and not just someone flying by the seat of my pants. I want to follow where God's moving, what He's doing. You do too. And sometimes those choices that come up, they stack up. The plate gets full when we think we can juggle all of it, right? Yeah, they do. This requires a lot. Fully committed. And I think even more importantly, and one of the main reasons you're here today, is to address the fact that I have work to do in my commitment to God. I need to sell out like the belly flop there. I've got to go all in. And it's a big deal. Quite honestly, it may not have been at the top of your list, but you're here this morning. I bring encouragement to you that we can resurrect that thought. We can reprioritize things. This morning, I'm going to do something I've never done before in a church service. I'm going to show you something. We're going to witness something together that will help right our priorities and our commitments. Where God has been second fiddle, so to speak, on the radar, and God has not been something of great value, I believe that's why you're here. That's why God has affirmed my calling as a pastor. To remind you that God should be of the highest priority. There should be nothing more important than Him. With Him at the top of that list, you'll see where all the other commitments fall into place. True? Yeah, amen. A good friend once asked me, going, man, I have no idea how I should desire and prioritize things, and I just feel flat. And quite honestly, I'll take on something that I shouldn't have, and they'll explain quite frankly that they made some real failing attempts at something they really wanted to do passionately. And I said, well, you got two different categories here. You got this gutter of, I really want this, God. I desire this. And you know I love you. But I've been asking you about this. And I haven't heard anything. So I tell you what, I'm just going to go for it. And no offense, you know I love you. But I'm just going to follow what I think is best. And then you have this gutter over here that just says, God, I've been asking and asking and asking for all of these things. I have asked you and I've not heard anything. And as a result, maybe I just shouldn't have desired to begin with. Maybe I just shouldn't even have any vision. I'm not even qualified. And quite honestly, my life sucks. And they just fall into despair. Resignation, disqualification, and all of a sudden desire is squelched entirely. Or the high road. God, you are my desire. I put you above anything and everything, and I know that you know my heart, you know my passions, you know what I love to do, and I trust that with you first, the other things are going to fall into place that you want me to do. You are first. You are my desire. So I'm arming our missile loaded with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God at our fear of commitment, what that means individually for us. Let's take a look at our notes today. Look at your outline, living and making commitments. It's crucial. Having a take, following through with commitment, critical in our life. We don't want to be without our bearings or just up for whatever. Not healthy. As a man, I want to walk with purpose. That gives me hope, gives me things to focus on, stand up for. I have a lot going on in my personal family right now, physically. This has been a year, a lot of trials. I'm tired. Tired of these types of trials. And I've called on great friends, good brothers across this country to say, man, I could use a shot in the arm. And they have returned with great opportunity for themselves to say, I'm there. I'm there for you. And I'm praying for you. It's a credit to your last name, who you are, when you value something like that. You put value on that, that's something you can hand to the next generation. This was a woman of integrity. This was a man of great character. He had good friends in his life, and he called on those friends at important times or just no time. They were there. Commitments are important in our life. Living and making commitments is crucial. So, I pledge allegiance. To what? Unveil what means most to you. What do I value most? Well, what do you spend your time doing the most? What? Where do you place your commitments? Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. That's pretty cut and dried. God says, I'm first. This is where I'm at. And I will let those things fall into place, as I just mentioned, as you put me first. So I would say the friends that are closest to me would recognize these things. And I kind of put these four things on my list. And they move around a lot, but this is the list I come back to. Number one, God. Got to have him. I value him above all others. I want him to be my highest priority. Quite honestly, just being frank, he's my fave. He's constant. He's called me to be a shepherd, a protector. And these are two other words for the name pastor. He pulled me from something that I thought was best for me to say, this is my best for you. I love quiet time. I love men's ministry. I love hanging out with guys, doing guy stuff. God puts these things in my heart, but he comes first as the ultimate guy, so to speak, the ultimate part of my masculine journey. And I think my close friends see that. Secondly is my family. I value my family, my parents, my children, my wife, my brother, my grandparents, and they were all heroes. And I love and value them. Valuable thing. I'm committed to loving them. And I'm committed to being a part of their world as they've been a part of mine. As estranged as some of them have become over the years, through whatever the generation has cast me, I'm choosing forgiveness and to go after some of those. Discovering that, man, that's not accurate at all. I really needed this person in my life, and I choose not to believe all that stuff surrounding the story and start a new story with this relative. That's a dangerous risk, but it's worth it. How about ministry? I work with all ages. I focus primarily on a lot of young adults. I love it. It's fun. It's exciting. It's awesome. I get to teach. I get to preach. It's so great. I value it, but it's a commitment. It's a big one. I've had to drop some things on the island here that were nowhere near as big as this commitment to put that in place. Also, my friendships. They're very dear to me. In fact, when I'm dead tired and I still get a request to hang out and meet, and I won't mention Reed's name consistently every Monday morning, I got to dig because I love being with my friends. I love hearing their story. We may have nothing on the agenda, and within a half hour of just hanging out, whatever needed to come out comes out, and it's wonderful, and it's edifying, and it's building up, and it should be, because these are true friendships. I love praying for them. I love talking with them. I love being encouraged by them and also convicted by them. There's a commitment for me there. What about you? A couple things that you're committed to or value, better word. Do you consider the time you spent or spend valuable time? Do you have a considerable amount of time? Do you invest in that value? If God happens to be on top of your list, how are you doing? How you doing hanging out with him? How about at church and to spend time with the creator of the universe? Listening to things that bring you closer to him, whether it's a podcast or incredible worship music. How you doing with that? Do you spend time with that person? Do you spend time with your creator? Do you spend time working on these values? Do you call your friends? Are you committed to loving with them? Are you there in the tough times? They reveal your commitments, these questions and these answers. Sometimes we say that we value things, but quite honestly, when you take a look back and look over your shoulder, you really see what you truly value by the amount of time that you spend. Who I am is determined by the commitments that I make. This just follows suit. Who are you? It shapes you. If I was a fly on the wall when I was hanging out with my friends or I left, I'd love to hear what they have to say about me. Is that guy a dork? Do they find I'm encouraging? I'm nice? Am I cool? What do I feel like? I'd love to know what they were saying. I wonder. But I know that the commitments in my life truly reveal who I am. They see that. That's what I'm defined by. I value, but who I am as a person is what sticks out. That's what they see, whether I tell them or not. Who I am is what they really see. And I was thinking about gifts, and it's really, really important that the people in my life that really love and know me, they know what I love, they know who I am, they know my giftings. And I think I could say the same thing about commitments in their life as well. They know who I am. I know who they are. They know what I value. I know what they value. And because of those commitments, we share something on a deeper level of story. So they not only reveal your values, but also who you are as a person. They're you. They're truly you. You may be committed to watching TV or possibly the internet. Possibly you're just always on the go and you're gone a lot. You're not home. You're always starting projects. You're hard to pin down. Working all the time. Lots of energy. What are you putting your time towards instead of your friendships, instead of these things that have great value? But you're on the go with this drivenness. Hard to figure out. Not committing yourself to the thing you really want to be. And what you truly value, and the things that are truly in your heart. My journal, as I've been pouring it out in this last couple of minutes here, are the questions that I give you this morning. The things that are in your outline that you're seeing are straight from the heart of a struggling pastor. And I tend to stay struggling. I want God to lead, and I don't want to get in the way, and I don't want pride to get in the way. And as a result, I find these things, and the questions come out, and they bring things to the surface. There are barriers to commitments. My personal barriers are right here in front of you. The first of which, when we deal with the things that are barriers regarding commitments, is past baggage, lots of pain. What's the deal with this stuff? Things that have happened in the past sometimes that hold us back from doing stuff. We constantly are looking at baggage. Had a great friend this week tell me, I'm going through some of the old stuff that I used to read, some of the old stuff that used to mean a lot to me. And as a result, some of the old feelings and emotions are coming back again. And I'm having to figure out what God is trying to say, what he's trying to redefine or even refine. Disqualification, resignation, definition, tons of doubt. These things hit. When we doubt who we are, what if I'm not good enough? What if I can't do this? What if, what if? What if I don't live up to the expectations? What if I'm not going to be giving them what they want? We doubt our abilities. That's a big one on my list. And we fight. We fight something that can help us move forward because we're constantly going backwards in doubt. Five steps forward and four back. Or the one that's the most prideful of all. It's all about me. Watch and learn. Lots of selfishness. I don't want to depend on anybody. I don't want to commit to anything. I just want to depend on myself. You'll see this in networks all over this island. We got a lot of fitness groups that love to meet. I'm in one of them, and I love what I get to do when teams get to compete with each other and teams come together. You'll see different personalities come to the surface real quick, some of which are like, hey, man, watch and learn. This is what I've got. And it sounds good. Sounds like somebody trying to help others, but quite honestly, when it comes down to it, there's no listening by that person. They end up controlling every part of the conversation. And they're just domineering. It's very painful to watch. And I don't want to depend on anybody, so to speak. I don't want to do this. Others may let me down, so guess what? I'm just going to lead the way, and that's selfish. And as a result, it's a barrier between us and commitment. What do you fear committing to? Do these barriers play a part in that? The cool thing about this is God can help overcome this. It's a great picture. He says, I'm going to help you. You're not alone. Andrew, if you're going to take the time to put all that stuff from your journal on paper and just come clean before people, I'm going to stand by your side and I'm going to do something with that story. If you're going to make yourself vulnerable, watch what I will do with your story. And God helps me put those things on paper. They're very painful to talk about. They're very painful to admit as a pastor. I choose to go that route because God will help me see that this is what He wants. This is how He works. My story with His story can change people's story. As a result, He helps me with my past hurts. He helps me with my self-doubts. He helps me with my selfish attitude. And God can help you too. Amen? He can help you overcome the fear of committing to things that you really want to be committed to. God can help you overcome that fear. And it's an awesome thing to know. I say this to teenagers. I say this to young people. And in a certain way, I'll kneel down and even get on a knee and say it to a child. You got this, kid. Go. You can do this. Pick it up. Run. You got this. You don't have to overcome the fear of committing to people or to things by yourself, because God is going to do it with us. Amen. You're not alone. It's a great image of your hand in His. So battling these things, living out of our fear, reaching out to God for wisdom regarding our commitment. How do we do it? Great verse, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Ask God for wisdom. God, I need help. God, I need clarity. God, I'm not sure if I should pursue this person any deeper, or I feel like they're pursuing me. What is my next move? James 5. Generously. Generously, he's going to answer that. How about this one? And this was personal. Uh-oh. Overcommitment. Ouch. I got to drop some stuff. This is the tough thing. You hate saying no to people that you love. You hate saying no to that important part. Maybe it's job related. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's someone that you're trying to impress. But if you ask God for wisdom, what should I commit to and what should I not commit to? You better believe He's going to answer both. What do I say no to? God will tip that cart back. And sometimes those things that you have to let go of, you never saw coming. So when it comes to making the big commitment, to ask God for wisdom, He's going to give it to you. And here's where this falls. The results of these things and the results of these benefits speak for themselves. They do. Compare the benefits of commitment with the cost of no commitment. You'll see. I can honestly tell you through personal testimony, it is a joy to see what happens when I drop something with no vision because God says to, and I sit back and I see, that's what you were talking about. That's what it was supposed to look like. And the benefits are endless. And they're there. But there's a cost when you choose not to commit yourself. And when you choose to commit yourself to something, there's a benefit there as well. And when you choose to commit your life to Jesus Christ, there are benefits. Every week, someone will stand at this pulpit and invite you to a relationship with God. And the only way to Him is through His Son. There is a benefit to that. You get all three. The Father, the Son, and His Spirit. The benefits are endless. The benefits of committing your life to Christ goes on and on and on. The list is more powerful than I could ever read. And I'll highlight hope, love, peace, knowing right from wrong, so many different levels that you commit your life to. And as you grow and get discipled with Him, your eyes are open. One of the big benefits is the stuff you've committed to in addition to Christ start to show themselves literally in such a way that they make sense. This is why you put me through this. Oh, this is why my marriage had this going on. This is why I moved to Catalina. You know, I thought it was the sunny in 75. Oh, now I see. There's a benefit to committing your life to Christ. Otherwise, you feel like you're just kind of coasting. Quite honestly, I'll just use the word Mom used a lot, wishy-washy. Son, get a take. You're wishy-washy. Kind of coasting. There's a cost to that. There's a cost to those no-committed people out there. You miss out on life. You miss out on all the best that God has for you. And that's the cost when you choose not to commit your life. And you miss people. You miss relationships. This quote at the end of your outline says this: it's not the years in your life, but the life in your years that count. Isn't that a great quote? I think Stevenson is trying to say here, man, live life. Live. Come alive. The benefits are never ending. And if that's so, you have reason to fear, literally, because God is going to be there whether your commitments you make or not. He's going to be there when you fall, and you need to look at Him, receive Him, accept Him. He is there. Look at Him when you fall. Helps you when you're afraid. He is there, and He's asking for you to commit to a relationship with Him. But the cost when you choose not to commit is a cost. And you miss out. Proverbs 20, verse 25 says, it's dangerous to make a rash promise to God before counting the cost. And I've read that commitment is not a word, it's an act. Follow through with trusting God with your commitment. Psalms 37 says, commit everything to the Lord. Give it all to Him. And trust Him and He will help you. Everything goes to the Lord. Trust God. Commit what you have. We're heading into summer and a brand new opportunity to decide, what do I value? What's there for me? Who am I? What do people see? What do people think that I value? What kind of commitment do they see? Ask yourself those questions. It's a challenge. You look at yourself in the mirror and say, what do I love? What do I value? What are the things that are important to me? And I challenge you to ask yourself those questions, because you're going to look at two things you wrote down today, and they're written down, so to speak, that are deeper. And it's not easy, but those questions are huge. What do I value? What are these commitments in my life? Where have they gone? Don't let fear keep you from committing your life to God. This is a powerful, powerful short film that I'd like to play for you. And it's about a man who learns the true meaning of commitment and sacrifice. In 2003, this received an Academy Award nomination. It's called Most, which is Czechoslovakian for the word the bridge. It's a parable about a loving father and his young son. Hundreds of passengers aboard an oncoming steam train that are completely unaware of what is going on around them. A desperate young woman witnesses an act of mercy beyond imagination, and her life is changed forever in the lives of all who see this story. It's a glorious story. It can also be heart-wrenching, but it portrays the greatest offering ever known. And this morning, I'm going to ask that you watch this and stay still, free of distraction, the best that you can. I'd turn your phone to airplane mode, give yourself complete concentration, and see where you play your part in the story. What character represents where you would be? I invite you completely into this, looking at it in the light of commitment and sacrifice. Where is your level with God? And where is your level in your friendships? This is called most. If our worship team can come down. And I'd like for everybody to stand if they would. A beautiful visual parable. People on a train, completely unaware, going through life, completely unaware of the tremendous commitment going on around them. A father to a son. And a combo, both, for every one of those passengers. And for every one of you this morning, the same commitment is offered, the same sacrifice is presented as a father to a son, and as he reveals the true character of his son, and as his son reveals the true character of who he is in saving a life, it's offered to you this morning. And this morning, what I'd like to do, quite honestly, is give you an just the answer to the problem of commitment, the answer to the problem of fear, the things that literally after your birth have just been learned can be unlearned this morning with one word. The name is Jesus. The powerful name of Jesus, who sacrificed everything on the line for you to change your life. And Michael and Maria, if you guys could come down, and anyone else that'd like to help out, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward to receive the greatest plan of salvation ever. His name is Jesus. This morning, as our worship team leads us, this is a time of prayer and commitment. This is a time for you to focus completely on being aware of your commitment level and who you are. We want to pray for you. And most importantly, we want to offer you the plan of salvation. We want to offer you God's Son, which so visually you saw this morning gave everything for you and showed us the ultimate commitment. He followed through the toughest decision someone would ever have to make, and he gave freely. And he did it for you. If you'd like to receive Jesus this morning and make a commitment to him, I invite you down here and to pray. If your commitment level after receiving Jesus has just been sitting on a train, so to speak, in life, completely unaware of what's going on around you, living a life that is out of control or full of sin and patterned sin over and over again, forgetting of that tremendous sacrifice, I invite you down to change your commitment, to move your commitment. I invite you to offer it to the Savior of the universe who put it all on the line for you. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence this morning understanding one thing most and foremost. You navigated commitment better than anyone. You have laid the path before us and given everything you have, everything. You left it all from above in your Father's side. And Jesus, you came here for us. This morning, Father, if there's just one, even someone in their heart that says, I recognize my place in this story, and I need a Savior, give them the courage this morning to receive you. Allow us the privilege of helping that person find you. And watch what the Holy Spirit is doing through them. And Father, if there's one in this house this morning that says, I know my Savior, and I have left, and I am completely unaware of the tremendous gift that He has given me, I'm sick and tired of the stuff I've been doing. I'm sick and tired of who I've become. I want to be alive. I want life to my years. And I change my commitment this morning. I ask that they come. I give this time over to you, Holy Spirit, and we recognize your power. In Jesus' name, amen.